27-year-old Zach Medlin of Champaign didn't start hearing the voices until about 7 years ago when he was a student at the University of Illinois.
I started thinking that there are secret messages in my emails that people are sending me, that I could decode them and read their thoughts. I started thinking that people were reading my thoughts. I imagined that my friends were all talking to me in my head. I thought that I was the chosen one, chosen by God to lead people to justice in the apocalypse.
Zach started showing signs of depression when he was 18, but he says his schizophrenia began taking shape when he was in college. He had been diagnosed with ADHD and was taking Adderall. Over the last few years, he says he's talked with gods, demons, angels, and ghosts, and he's had visits from extraterrestrials.
Now I believe that I hear from the voice of God himself. And I believe that he got me to stop smoking, and he's beginning me to stop drinking so much and make more friends, all kinds of stuff. Sometimes I get the voice of the devil, too, but I've learned to distinguish which one's which.
How do you do that?
Well, if I hear a voice that says to go kill yourself, that would be from satanical.
After giving school a try at the U of I and Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, but not graduating, Zach is now living at home in Champaign with his family. He's been hospitalized several times since his diagnosis and is focused on getting better. And he says he has support to do that through religion and family.
We're very proud of you. You could have found easier way out, and you've taken the high road.
That's Zach's mom, Deborah. She's become a real advocate for her son, even participating in the local chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. In 2007, she tried to schedule a visit for Zach to see a psychiatrist at Carl Hospital in Urbana and was told it would be 3 to 4 months before a doctor could see him. Before that could happen, he had a crisis and needed to be hospitalized.
If he'd seen the doctor earlier when I had first called or when I was starting to explain that things like rolling around on the roof were dangerous, then it wouldn't have escalated to the point of him being hospitalized.
Deborah started looking for a psychiatrist for her son in major cities, where there are more of them on staff and shorter wait times. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, around 60% of Illinois psychiatrists are based in the Chicagoland area. Zach ultimately went with a psychiatrist 3 hours away in the St. Louis area. If Zach were to start seeing a psychiatrist at Carl today, he'd have to schedule as a new patient, and the hospital says it's currently booking first-time psychiatric patients 6 months out.
Since my experience at Carl, that has only expanded over time.
That's Arthur Traugott, who's one of 10 psychiatrists at Carl Hospital. He's been at the hospital for more than 40 years, and he says the long wait times are
primarily because of a shortage of other psychiatric services in the community. Our program here at Carl has continued to grow over the years, but has not kept up with the demand for our services.
According to a report by the Association of American Medical Colleges, more than half of psychiatrists are at least 55 years old. That means they're getting closer to retirement. The records also show the number of psychiatrists dropped slightly over a 5-year period. Traugott has one solution.
I keep working in retirement. That's what I've been doing.
While there's a concern about shortages with these providers, the number of U.S. medical student seniors matched into psychiatry residencies has gone up in the last couple of years. But even with more people entering the field, mental health providers in Illinois say insufficient funding and low Medicaid and Medicare reimbursement rates are making it difficult to keep up care. Administrators say problems with funding have also made it difficult to recruit psychiatrists in Champaign County. Carl psychiatrist Arthur Traugott says that's a problem that goes beyond physicians in his field.
Other things that are being put into practice are the use of mid-level practitioners in psychiatry, psychiatric nurses who have had special training in the field. However, we have been trying to recruit at Carl, and we find them very difficult to entice them to come to this community.
That can lead to a shortage of mental health care providers, which too often leaves patients, like Zach Medlin, in the emergency room for mental health care. Here again is his mom, Deborah.
When he was ill, we needed somebody then. We couldn't wait weeks and months. The emergency room was not what Zachary wanted to do. He wanted to see his psychiatrist.
With the shortages in mental health care, some agencies are more selective about who can see a psychiatrist. For example, at Francis Nelson Health Center in Champaign, Nancy Greenwald, who oversees the clinic, says patients can't just call to schedule an appointment with the clinic's part-time psychiatrist. They have to be referred by a primary care doctor.
Our psychiatrist does consulting with all our primary care providers. She has for a long time, but what we've done recently is we have a monthly meeting where providers can bring in cases, our psychiatrist can work with all the primary care providers, and that way we can meet some of the need, some of the more manageable cases at the primary care level.
Greenwald says that staves off long wait times, which at Francis Nelson are typically 3 to 5 weeks for an initial visit. The shortages in mental health care are particularly noticeable in rural communities, like in Mason County in western Illinois, where the hospital there has had trouble recruiting a psychiatrist. According to federal data from the early 90s that the government continues to use, more than half of the nation's counties have no practicing psychiatrists, psychologists, or social workers. All of those communities are rural. Harry Wolin is the administrator at Mason District Hospital, which serves a county of fewer than 15,000 people. That's much less than Champaign County, but Wolin says the two communities share a common challenge, attracting psychiatrists.
Recruitment into a rural area is very challenging because of the unique nature. It's finding someone who enjoys the lifestyle of not having a mall on every street corner and living in a community where there aren't the sorts of amenities that typically are found in urban areas.
So the hospital looked for other ways to provide that care. Enter telepsychiatry. A psychiatrist meets with a patient through a remote video connection, sort of like Skyping with your doctor. The Mason District Hospital uses this technology for both children and adults. Wolin says it's more expensive because of the equipment, internet connection, and extra staff to be in the room during a session. But he says it's worth it.
It's very important to the community, very expensive to the hospital. But in balance, that's why we're here, is to meet the needs of the community.
Telepsychiatry is covered by Medicaid, but not all private insurers. A bill in the Illinois legislature seeks to change that. The mental health center in rural Douglas County serves a diverse community, including Latinos and the Amish. It's lost all of its funding from the county and now relies on 95% of its support from Medicaid reimbursements. Mental Health Executive Director Jan Aiden says her agency used telepsychiatry for children, but stopped a couple of years ago.
I think that you lose a lot of opportunities to recognize symptoms and emotions when you don't have a person-to-person meeting. And that's my opinion, but it's also what our parents of our clients, they were frustrated. They didn't feel the connection with the psychiatrist.
Aiden says the Douglas County Mental Health Center did away with telepsych, referring patients to other providers, even volunteering to drive them if transportation is an issue. She does have an adult psychiatrist who came out of retirement and works at the mental health center 14 hours a month. She actually picks him up from Champaign and takes him to the mental health center 30 minutes away.
Your doctor is nearing 70 years old, and he's not going to be able to do this forever. What's going to happen when he puts in the towel and says, you know, I have to retire a second time?
I will make every effort to find a psychiatrist that is willing to come in and meet our patients face-to-face. It's probably inevitable that eventually we will have to go to the telepsychiatry, but that is an absolute last resort for us.
Meeting the needs of community while balancing cost and care is something many healthcare providers are struggling with as the demand for mental health service continues to grow. I'm Sean Powers,